You had to pay.
day, though sometimes it's hard to see the plan you have for me. Your ways are not my own, they're higher than us all, and I thank you for the chance you've given to heed the call.
Down on my knees I pray, make me worthy of your call, to stand through it all, and by your grace alone, Lord, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, I'm not worthy of. Lord, knees I pray. Make me worthy of your call. To stand through it all. And by your grace alone, Lord,
of your love, for the price you had to pay. I stumble.
humble. Down on my knees I pray. Make me worthy of your call. Stand through it all. And by your grace alone, Lord, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But not worthy of your love, for the price you have paid. I stumble and I fall. Now all my knees I pray. Make me worthy. We have.
me. Oh, you better see that. Because if you don't see they're not happy, then you're drawn off them. Because you gotta find your peace in the Lord. For the peace of the heart. Oh, there's strength in that. Oh, there's a strength in that. Oh, there's a strength in the brotherhood. To listen to the words they say and let it hit you deep in your heart. Because it'll do a work. This will do a work in your life. It's meant to do a work. It's not meant to just slide across your forehead, but it's meant to sink down on the inward parts. And begin to work something. Oh, that you become a light into this dark world. You know, in a dark place, it doesn't take much light to begin to shine. Does it not? When if you're in a dark room and the lights have went out and you light one candle, does it not shine in the whole room? Well, this dark world, we should be shining a light that can be seen. Or you gonna let your light shine in a world that's lost and dying? Are you gonna let it shine? Are you gonna let it shine? In the hell of a do you love God or do you love yourself? That's what it really hits. It's only you who separates yourself from the living God. If you'll draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. If he promises you something, will he not meet it? If he promised you that, will he not do it? God's promises are eternal and they never change. You know, we may promise some things and not keep that promise. But I know a God who keeps his promises. He has promised that there's coming some great thing that's never been seen. Because the latter rain will be greater than the former. And it's going to be a great harvest out here. Do you want to be a part of that? Because we're coming into a time. Can you not, if you can't see that this world is falling apart. Everything that people value and everything that they find precious is beginning to crumble. Because the economy is falling apart for one reason. That's to glorify the living God. Because they have forgotten God. But God, you know, it seems like the children of Israel, every time that they would become very prosperous, they would forget God and begin to serve other gods. You know what them gods really were? Were just the things they valued in their lives. They begin to serve things that valued more than God. Anything you value more than God becomes a god to you. Let's not let anything become above God. Let's not let nothing hinder us from God. Because God is worthy of all of our praise. And I'm just so glad. Can you not feel the peace that's here today? Can you feel the great peace of God in his people? Oh, I'm glad that he dwells in the praises of his people. I'm glad that he's not a God that's just hay or stubble or something that we've made with our own hands. But he's a living God. And he does meet, he fills our infirmities of our heart. You know, he doesn't have to do that. He could have just destroyed us all. When Adam sinned, he could have just wiped him off the face of the earth. But he loved. He wanted somebody to serve him. He wanted to be loved. Do you not want to be loved? You that are looking for a wife or you that are looking for a husband, do you not want to be loved? That's just part of us. We want to be loved too. But God made us in like him. He wants to be loved too. Are you going to show the love to God? And if you'll do that, if you are looking for a spouse and you'll love the Lord more than anything, he'll find that spouse that's meant for you. He'll find that one that's going to help you on this journey. You know, it's better that two work together and not be separated. You know, and if God will give you, let God give the one that you need, then you'll become a strength. He'll make you one. And I'm thankful that God's given me a good wife and that he's touched my life and he's touched her life. And isn't it wonderful when you begin to feel God work on the inner parts? It's no longer just a touch, but it's beginning to dwell and stay in your heart. And the great convictions of God become, I thank God for convictions. I thank God that he's given me convictions. You know, I pray for convictions because I want to know what God wants. What God wants in my life. Do I appear as God or do I appear as the world? I don't want to appear as the world, but I want to appear as God. And as he would want me to appear. And I think this ministry I love this ministry, and I love the landmarks. I love everything about this ministry, and I can't wait to see Jesus. That should be the main goal, is we want to see him. We don't serve him just for eternal life, but we should serve him because we love him, because we just want to see him. We want him to be pleased in us. You know, I wanted my father, my natural father, to be pleased in me, even though I wasn't always so pleasing. I got the rod of iron, and it drew some things out of me, thank God. And isn't that wonderful? You know, then it wasn't so wonderful. I was like, boy, he really don't like me or something. I don't like this that much. You know, do you really like a whooping? I never did. You're not supposed to like it anyways. And my dad knew how to give them too. If mama didn't give it good enough, dad would give it better. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that God touched his life. That God put that in his heart to raise me right. That he loved me enough to correct me. You know, I'm thankful that God chastises whom he loveth. Oh, that we don't have to tell. Oh, God. You know. Oh, God. Sometimes we give our parents a hard time when we're growing up. That we don't listen to them. You know, I've looked back on my younger days, and I wish I would have listened a little more. Because if I really would have realized why they did the things they did, is just because they didn't want you to make the same mistakes they have made in their life. Oh, you know, God wants us to honor our parents, and I still honor my parents, and I still listen to them. And I'm thankful for the love that they've given me in my life. You know, that every mother went through a pain to have you. Every mother loved you when they first seen you. And I'm thankful that my mother loved me. Oh, I'm thankful that my mother loves me. The Lord who has, oh God, I'm thankful that God loves me. Oh, when I was born again. Oh, that he loved me. Oh, that he cherishes me. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord cherishes you? He compares it just to a parent, you know, that they chastise their kids, and they better do it out of love. But, you know, he does the same way. You know, he'll whoop us. You ever got a whooping by God? I have. I've got quite a few of them, actually. I haven't took them all so good, but I want to take them better. And the thing about the Lord is when he whoops us, if we will break, let our spirit break under the mighty hand of God, that he will come down and love on us. He'll give us a peace after we've went through that. He'll give us a joy that passes all understanding once again. You know, it really is nothing that explains the joy of the Holy Ghost, is there? Can you put it in words how it really feels inside when God begins to touch you? I can't. I thank God that it's there. It's a strength, and if you don't have it, you got to have it, because that's what you need to go on. And because we're not here just to come here among men, but we're here to please God. And there's many people that come just to please men because that's just how they do it. But we're here to please the living God. We're here to be led of his Spirit. And if we're led of his Spirit, a man can get up and preach, but unless God makes the increase, it's no effect. We have no effect unless God makes the increase. God can make an increase in your life if you'll let him. That's the thing. See, we have a will, and God won't. He's not going to force himself upon you. But if you'll let your will die to him, he will give you life more and more abundantly. And I'm thankful for the men are not afraid to get up. And I believe these men love their people. I believe that the pastors of the body of Christ love their people as they would love their own children. I believe there's a love there. And I don't think they just want to get up and rail their saints and break them down, but they want to establish them in the body of Christ. They want to see them go on to perfection and get all they can get in the Lord. And when they know, you know, and especially in a small assembly, you kind of, it's really well known, maybe the problems that's in the church. And And that I know that sometimes they'll have to get up and preach on things, and they know it's hitting people for sure. But they're not doing it to destroy people, but they're doing it to build them. And they're doing it in the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful. Have you ever been on your pew? And man, that man's just pointing his finger right at you. I mean, he's just pointing at you, but he's not even looking at you. You know it. You know it's God then. That's God talking to your heart. It is God who's talking to your heart. Are you going to listen? Or are you going to close your ears and say, Lord, that's not for me? But everything that God is talking to you is for you, and it's meant to work in you, the peaceable fruits of God. And I'm thankful that there is some fruits that's here, that God, I can see some fruits. If you can look out here and see the fruits of God, that God's working in people's lives. I think that's just the most wonderful thing to me, is when you see God touching somebody deep on the inside. Oh, their appearance changes, doesn't it? It totally changes. You begin to see God in them. I'd love that. Oh, I love to see Jesus in other people. You know, that's what we're to be, as little Jesuses. We're to be just like Him. He's not a selfish God. He wants us to be just like Him. And He wants to please His Father. That's the one thing the whole time He was on this earth, you know what He did? He just pleased His Father. He wanted to please Him. That's all He wanted to do. He didn't want no glory. He wanted His Father to get the glory. We're not to want glory, but we want the Father to get the glory. We're to want God to get all the glory and to realize that it's not us. It's not us. It's just not us. We couldn't do anything without God. We could not do anything without God. I'd got out for a while, and I thought, well, I came to church. I'm the one who decided to come back. No. It wasn't me. It was the Lord who drew me. I realize that now, that it wasn't me. I would have never came back. But God touched my heart. He touched me deep down inside. And He drew me back. And I thank God, by His grace, I'm here. It's by His grace that I am here. And I would encourage you, the best testimony you can ever have is say, I never left the Lord. I love the Lord. No matter that all my friends left, I stayed, and I stayed faithful that I might be able to draw them back. You know, because if everybody left, would there be anywhere to come back to? We got to stay. And I would not rather nobody ever leave, because you know what? You may not come back. You may get so drawn. You know, that's one thing that I was thinking, you know, if you ever notice that people that's backslid become worse than the people that was in the world already. Because you know why? Because they cannot feel the peace that they once felt when they knew that God. It'd be better that you know God not than to have known Him and depart from His fellowship, because there is nothing that can satisfy that but Him. And there is really nothing. I know there's nothing. There is nothing. This world is so evil and dark that it would draw you. It'll take you. It'll take you for a whirlwind. It'll destroy everything in your life that you have valued. It will tear it down. And you know, I think one of the easiest ways is the musics of the world, because it has such a spirit with it. It has a spirit in it. It draws you. Music draws me. It always has. I love music. I love to hear the body songs. Now, I don't love the music of the world, but I do love the body music. I love it when I can begin to feel the Lord trinkle in with that, and not the spirits of the world. It says, try the spirits and see what be of God. And I tell you, that's not of God. It's not. It's of this world. Oh, God, it's of death. It will bring a death in your life. And I don't know how I got on that. I didn't really mean to. But if that's what the Lord wanted. I want to be a willing vessel to be used. Be used of God in your assembly. Back your ministers up. You know, you may be young. You may even be, I don't care if you're 3 years old. A three-year-old could grab my leg and begin to pray and help me pull me in. You know, that's amazing. It's amazing. It doesn't matter how young you are. You can work in the body of Christ. You know, we don't have to take our kids out to some Sunday school and leave them all day, but they can be here pulling on the Spirit with us and learning how to work in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for that. That's one of the things I've always been thankful of. That, you know, when I was at my dad, always, I don't know, I don't remember, but I was too young. I don't really have a good memory anyways, but my dad said that I used to raise my hands when I was just a little kid. and I begin to learn to get my hands up. You know, that's your antennas. That's just as high as point you can reach. You're trying to reach up to heaven. You're trying to pull on God. You're trying to touch Him. You know, I love that, that woman who pressed through the crowd to grab the Lord. Sometimes we have to press through a crowd, don't we? Sometimes we have let the flesh take control. We have to press through that crowd. It's crowded here. It's a crowd in our mind. And I'd like to get to the point that I could speak in tongues just like that. I could begin to worship God just like that. You know, I'm not there yet, but that is my earnest desire. To really tell you the truth, my desire is to be beyond the veil for good. For good, to be there always in the presence of God. You know, someday we'll be there. We will. That's what this people's to do. We're to be there. And I love the Lord.
I'm thankful to be here today and feel the good spirit that we've been feeling and hear the good words that have been said thus far in the meeting. And I don't plan on taking a lot of time, but I just want to share a few things that the Lord has been dealing with me about. And a lot of what has been said by different ones, like Brother Tory Zimmerman and Brother Smith, have been some things that God has been dealing with me about, and I believe dealing with our assembly about our young people. And if I could, real quick, if everybody in the sanctuary would stand to your feet, stretch out and get your blood moving a little bit. My name's Weston Bernier. I'm from Russellville, Kentucky. Sorry.
Yeah, if everyone would turn my mic on, please, a little bit higher. Can you hear it? If you would, when you get up, if you'd tell us who you are and where you're from, it'd help different ones that don't know who you are and where you're from.
My name is Weston Bernier. I'm from Russellville, Kentucky. All right. Now that we're all standing, continue to stand, please. Thank you. Get your blood moving. I'm sure everybody's tired, been staying up late. I know I have. I'm 23 years old now, and I remember when I was about 16, 17, come to these meetings, I was usually had a chaperone, and we give them a hard time, and now I'm the chaperone, and they're giving me the hard time, so not easy to sleep when they're all being rambunctious. But if everybody would just stay standing for a minute, and I want you to think about what's been said at this meeting thus far. I want you to think about the words that the Lord's been speaking to us about being a faithful servant, being chosen and called, as Brother Smith was saying, and Brother Tory was talking about a spiritual healing that we all would like to have. We come here, we're here for a purpose. God has a calling on our life, has been said so far in this meeting. And if you're here, then God has called you, and God has a plan for you.
Yes, He does.
And there was a scripture that my pastor had talked about here recently. I believe it's in Isaiah 30, but it said that Isaiah, I believe it was, heard a voice behind him say, "Stand ye in the way, and choose which path to take. Take the old path." And here we stand. We hear these words. We hear these things. It becomes common terminology, especially when you're raised in this, when you've been brought up this way. We hear these things, and they just kind of roll off our back after a while, and we don't really appreciate what it is God has given us. But as we stand here, we all have a decision to make. We have a decision whether or not we're going to serve God with our whole heart, with everything that we have, or if we're going to live a half life, or if we're going to walk out of those doors and eventually never come back. And every youth meeting that we come, we see people, and we come back from youth meetings, we see different ones that we saw last time that are on fire, they're inspired for God. And then we see others that are wavering, they're having struggles, they're going through hard times. I've heard a statistic a while back that in mainstream Christendom, that is, that from the ages 18 to 20, 80% of Christians lose their faith. 80% of Christians walk away, and most of which never come back. They never come back and have a real relationship with God because of the temptations and the things that they face. And here we are. We're standing. We have a decision to make. And are we going to be the one that comes back to the next youth meeting, inspired, on fire for God, working in our assemblies? Or are we going to be the ones that put on and dress the way that we're supposed to and just have an appearance of godliness? Or are we going to be the ones that don't come back, the ones that we're not going to see again? I'm going to ask you all in a moment here to sit down. And the ones that sit down, I want you to be convinced in your mind that that's where you're going to sit. Every one of us, our pastor, we don't believe in Of course, in the body of baptizing babies, it's a decision that you make on your own, but we dedicate children to the Lord, and every child that we dedicate, we set up a little chair and kind of decorate it, and it signifies that each one of us have a place in that assembly. Somewhere we have a place in that assembly. And when you take your seat, I want you all to visualize in your mind that when you sit down, you have a place in this body. You have a place amongst this people, and you have a calling. And when you do that, when you take that seat, you have to be convinced in your mind, and you have to be sincere with God. There can't be any wavering. There can't be any of that backbone of our own Brother Smith remaining. We have to take the fat of our inwards, and we have to be dedicated to God before we take that seat. And if you're not dedicated, if you don't feel called, if you're not going to follow after God the way that He intends you to follow, the way that we've been instructed here today by Brother Smith, then I suggest that you remain standing, and when everyone is sat down, you leave out those doors. Because we have a calling today that is serious, and we don't want any distractions. We don't want anyone standing in our way. We don't want anybody to hinder us. We don't want text messaging going on while there's preaching. We don't want talking. We don't want note passing. We want to be dedicated. We want our eyes set on the prize. That's what this people has been called to do, and there's going to be a work go out. In this land, there's going to be a work, and us young people, as Brother Smith was saying, we're going to be a part of that. So when you take your seat, when you sit down, you need to be sure. There's a scripture in Corinthians here, 1 Corinthians, and it's in the 29th verse, and I'll read it real quick, in 30th verse. It says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if ye would judge yourselves, we should not be judged." So before you take your seat today, and before you decide if you're going to leave and not come back, I suggest that you judge yourself and you decide whether or not you want to serve God, and if you're going to continue to be in this body and continue to eat these things and drink these things and enjoy the Spirit of God and enjoy the Word of God. You know in your heart who it is you're serving and who it is you're dedicated to. And if you're ready to make that commitment today, I suggest that you take your seat.
Inside me, I never, my name is Jennifer Glass. I'm from McAllister, Oklahoma. For the last month and a half, there's some stuff that's been really going on in my life, and I've just been asking God to allow me to be an example, allow the Lord to use me, and it's not by coincidence that every message has been pointed directly at me. The other night, I went up to the front, and I have a huge burden for a minister in the body, and I asked a couple of the brethren if they would pray for me, because I really have a burden. I know that there's sick ministers that are in this body of Christ, and I know that Brother Adams has said that cancer can be killed. He wants to pray for that. But Brother Tenney is really on my mind. He is on my heart. He weighs on my heart every night when I go to sleep. He weighs on my heart every night or every morning when I wake up. And I feel like, because we're as on fire as we are, I don't know if it's, I don't want it to be a prophecy. And if I'm out of line, I give it to God. It's between me and God. But I feel like if I was just to raise my hands and the brethren were to come down and pray for me, that there's a peace that would be inside Brother Tenney, maybe a healing even. But I feel so strong about it. And to stand up in a meeting with, I don't even know how many people, it looks like 10 million right now. But I just, I want to step out in faith. I want God to use me. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I don't want to sit on that fence and straddle it and think, you know, one side's in the world and the other side's in Christ. But I want both feet to be in fire. I want to be so on fire for the Lord that anybody who walks up to me, the only thing I can say is, let the Lord use you. That's the only words I want to come out of my mouth. Not, I don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore. I can do this. We can do this. As the body of Christ, we can do this. We can go on. We can keep walking. And I want to keep walking with the Lord. So I don't know if I'm out of line, but if you guys could come down and pray on me. I don't know, but I just really have Brother Tenney right now. And it's so strong, but I just feel like the Lord can heal Brother Tenney right now. He can heal all of our ministers.
All right, let's do it this way. She felt like if she just raised her hands, and if we'd pray for her and pray for Brother Tenney. Now let's all stand. This is a good prayer. Let's all, while she raises her hands, let's just reach out to her with ours and ask God to heal Brother Tenney and touch him. Let him feel a peace. Right now, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you heal our brother Jesus. Right now, Lord God, we petition you for this great need. Oh, God, would you honor this faith and obedience, Lord, that our sister has for you, for our brother. Ah, God, itala. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Christy Coles. I'm from Glenwood, Arkansas, and I've had this burning since the first day to get up, and I'm not really good at this. I don't think anybody's really good, but there's a certain kind of respect that comes on you when you get in front of God's people, and you feel so unworthy. And I wanted to give just a tiny bit of my testimony. I know some of you may have already heard it, and I apologize if you have to hear it again, but I just can't quit telling it. I'm just so thankful. I was up front praying, and I felt so unworthy, you guys. I felt so unworthy to be part of this body. And I just shake all over when I think about it, because I am not worthy to be a part of you all. But God has chosen me. He has called me out. He has called me out from an organization where I felt so all alone. And I felt so unworthy there too, but it was for a different reason. I just didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel like I ever measured up. My daddy wasn't somebody. Our church wasn't huge. I didn't have the best voice. I couldn't play the piano the best. I couldn't play the saxophone the best. I just wasn't the best at anything, and I felt like a failure. I went searching for more of God, and I found that I fell short. I went to Bible school at 18, right after I got out of high school. I'd received the Holy Ghost at 8. And when I went to Bible school, I went looking for more. I wanted more. I wanted to know more about God. Brother Smith had a deep desire to be deeper in Him. I wasn't satisfied just to go from service to service and just sit on the pew and, and just feel all right. I wanted more. I went to Bible school, and I was telling my friend Jessica here and some people from the church about it. I went to Bible school, and we learned about different things, and we learned about the Godhead. And I remember feeling so uncertain about things. We had to write weekly responses in that class. And I went back and I was reading some of them now that I've come to the body, and I just started crying. I was like, wow, I was hungry then. I just couldn't see it, you know. Meantime, my mom had come to the body, and I thought she had lost it. I thought they were going crazy. I thought my parents were going to believe a lie and be damned. I really did. I thought that they were going crazy, and I didn't know what to do. And I would just cry, and I would be like, God, what are you doing in my life? And for those of y'all that have grown up in this, please don't be a body brat. Please. Reach out to people that come in that are new. When I came in, I was new. No one knew me. People did not reach out to me because I looked different, but I wanted y'all to reach out. You know, you girls, reach out to other girls. Love each other. Don't see each other as competition. Please, please love each other. Reach out to each other. No matter if they look different or not, or if they sound different, or if they're just not, you know, maybe as good as you think that they should be. They're wanting acceptance. That's what I wanted. But more than y'all's acceptance, I wanted God's acceptance. And there were several times my mom, when I came back from college, I was very disillusioned and very unhappy. First of all, back when I was in college, when I was in Godhead class, they were talking about the Godhead and about one and two and three. Well, actually, they were talking about one and three. And then my instructor said, there are even people who believe in two. And everybody's like, really? Wow. And I mean, I'd never heard of it. And so my mom started coming around the body, and I raised my hand. I was like, yeah, I know some of those people. And it's